Welcome to the first show of the Lately in PHP podcast. I am Manuel Lemus, the developer of the phpclasses.org site. First, a small introduction about myself. I am originally from Portugal, but I moved to Brazil in 1998, almost 12 years ago, but for family reasons, not really professional reasons. By the way, since my mother tongue is not English, I would like to apologize in advance if my English is not clear enough. Anyway, I started working with PHP in 1997, in the PHP 2 beta days. And for many years, I programmed in C. So PHP was a sort of fulfillment of a dream of having a C interpreter, so I would not have to wait for compiling my code to try the results. Then it was funny doing it all in procedural code using a mini SQL as relational database. In 1988, PHP 3 was released, and it introduced the basic object-oriented support in PHP. In 1999, I created PHP Classes site as a means of distributing my object-oriented classes. Later in 2001, many of us decided to take another route in life because we were laid off due to the burst of the dot-com bubble. And coincidentally, my son was born in that year. So I decided to turn the PHP Classes site into a business so I could dedicate to it full-time working from home. Fortunately, it worked reasonably well, so I'm launching yet another initiative under the PHP Classes site umbrella, which is this podcast. For years, I've been willing to create a podcast like this, but I was reluctant to do so. It takes a lot of work and time to make it happen. Many podcasts start and then die precisely for that reason. Now I decided to do it because it is important to keep PHP developers up to date about what is going on in PHP world in general, and specifically in the PHP Classes site. For now, the podcast has no sponsors, so the return on the investment for me to make this podcast will be obtained talking about interesting content and features that is made available in the PHP Classes site. I have some great news to talk about in the upcoming programs, so stay tuned. Anyway, the main theme of this podcast is PHP. What happened lately in the PHP community and the web development world in general. The podcast is expected to happen at least once per month in the beginning of each month. So this is the first episode. So let's move on to the actual show. Anyway, I will not be alone hosting the podcast. I have invited a longtime friend of mine named Hernani Joppert. He gladly accepted my invitation to co-host this podcast, which is great because a single person podcasts are usually monotone and boring. So, hello Hernani, how are you doing?
Hello Manuel, thanks for inviting me. I'm really glad to participate here. Just to introduce a little bit of myself, I've been working with PHP for a long time. I had, due to professional reasons, to move on to another languages and to be more holistic on the architect role. But PHP is a very powerful language, and I try to keep myself up to date. And it's been a pleasure to be here and to be invited by you and to co-host this podcast with you. And this will also promote myself by having greatest overviews and be able to talk about business, entrepreneur activities, and the whole internet in general. So I really thank you for this invitation, and I hope to be here at any time that you are willing to promote this podcast and for future episodes.
Okay, thank you for accepting the invitation to host this podcast. I also like to thank you for helping to choose the podcast intro music. It was nice from the author to authorize the use of the tune. And I don't know if the audience of the site will appreciate the type of music, but I'll go to send the kudos to the author for such a nice beat. But let's move on to the actual podcast. So you said you are not working with PHP now. So why did I invite you? Just kidding. I know you had to move to another language because you wanted to pursue different goals in your career, but it's always great to have in the show a person that has different views of the world, not necessarily from the viewpoint of the PHP developer. I also like to mention a bit how I've met Hernani. I met him many years ago when I was using PHP, and he was also in PHP. He was also using PHP in his work. I encouraged him to create the PHP SP, a PHP user group of São Paulo in Brazil. São Paulo is a large city with over 12 million inhabitants, so I thought it deserved to have a good PHP user group, which did not exist then. However, Hernani got busy and had to hand it over to other people like Jonas Raoni and Marcel Toscano. Marcel Toscano, also a good friend, he started the site phpsp.org.br. With the help of Pablo Sanchez, which also is also a great friend and PHP developer of Brasilia, the capital of Brazil. And Pablo helped him to register the domain, which, because it ends in .org.br, which is restricted to certain non-profit, non-government organizations. Then the user group PHP SP was handed to other people that carry on the group until today. This fact is, I think, important to talk a bit about the task of leading user groups. It usually is a hard task, and it takes a lot of time and dedication. So it is important. Right. So it is important to rotate the user group leadership so the groups never die. And that can only happen if groups keep attracting new members. That is the main reason why I created in 2004 the PHP user groups directory in the PHP classes site. That directory keeps leading new members to the groups. Once the users log in the PHP classes site, the site shows the active user groups list in a map right below the welcome message. There is a map made with Google Maps with pinpoints for each of the active groups. And that same page invites the users to join one of the existing groups. Meanwhile, early this year, I have went further and created a worldwide ranking of PHP user groups. The idea is also meant to give more visibility to the groups, that especially those that are really very active. Thus, making those groups that are dead or are not really user groups or something that somebody tried to start and did not go well, they will become less visible. So if you belong to an user group, just go to the phpusergroups.com, which is a sort of a hot site where I created with this information from the PHP classes user groups directory. It lists the ranking of the most active PHP user groups that were registered in the site. There you can click on the link of your country to find a user group that you belong, if you belong to one, if you participate in the activities of the group. And then you click on a link near the user group entry that says, I am a member. Once you do that, you are led to a page that will tell that you are a member, so the site can count you as an active member of the user group. If you do not have a user group yet, you may want to start one. There is a link there to submit your user group. So, well, this is one idea that I had to improve the visibility of the user groups. Hernani, what do you think? Could initiatives like this help PHP user groups keep a good number of members active so they do not die?
Oh, yes. By the time I was involved into the PHP SP user group, we had a very healthy day-to-day solution of problems, and everybody was involved into discussing the latest technologies and keeping up to date and trying to help newcomers. So this is really beneficial and helps people that are pretty much starting their career. It assists these people to understand it's not
right.
I mean, developing web applications can start from one age to any age. And I guess that user groups tries to focus on professionalism. And by the time I was involved on there, I got a lot of experience on this situation where I had to, how should I behave under a company, getting some kind of feedbacks about pay rates, and what kind of knowledge should I have if I would start working for a company with a size of, let's say, a very, very big company. So I guess it helps a lot, and it assists everyone. So I recommend, if you're willing to learn PHP or to get together with a community of pretty much knowledgeable people or not very expert people related in the subject, I guess a user group is a very, very positive place to discuss your intentions and the situations that you want to achieve within your own personal web page. So I guess it's very broad, and it can assist a lot of people willing to learn either from scratch or to get a situation that is happening and an eventual issue that they may be facing. So it assists a lot of people with a lot of problems, and I really like to encourage everyone to participate within the regional user group.
Okay, that's the idea, but let's move on with the podcast.
Yeah, sure.
In every show, I intend to have a guest invited to come to and talk about his work and his activities in the PHP community. In this first podcast, I invited Guilherme Blanco, that is an active developer of the Doctrine project and recently joined Yahoo as a software engineer. Blanco, how are you doing?
Hi, Manuel. Thanks for the invitation. Also, Hernani, thank you. I thought that you had forgot about me.
No, not really.
quite a long time, I know. As I already noticed, I'm a PHP developer. I started working with PHP in 2001. Before that, I was a user interface developer, mainly working with JavaScript and other related languages like ATC and ATA applications. And in 2001, I started working with PHP, and I've been switching jobs since 2005. And finally, I joined Yahoo this year, 2 months ago. It's really nice. The career there is really nice. If everybody's trying to work on a good company, Yahoo is definitely a very good company to work for. They have some events that are namely Yahoo Hack Day, which happened recently here in Brazil in 2-3 months ago, that they try to group developers to develop new applications based on Yahoo platform, many YQL and other related libraries that Yahoo provides as an open source projects, and that's a very good event that everybody should join, really.
Yeah, that's good to know.
Yeah. I think also that Yahoo sends job opportunities in your website. I think you can comment about that better than me.
Later. Yeah, yes. First, I also like to comment that Blanco is also from Brazil. But don't worry, in the future, I intend to invite guests from other countries, not just having people from Brazil in this podcast. It is interesting to know about your move to Yahoo. So how are you doing there? Is it something that is already a satisfactory opportunity that you got, or you are still learning how to enjoy the job there?
Actually, Yahoo works mainly with PHP, so I'm quite affordable with the opportunity. So my daily work is very interesting. Sometimes I have to learn new things, mainly related to how complex and is the enterprise environment. I mainly worked all my life in very small teams for big companies, but very small teams that don't be affected too much by all the enterprise environment that is really needed for huge companies. But let's get back to myself. After I switched to, I started work a professional in 2005. I really enjoy to work with open source projects. So since 2003, when I was formerly a user interface developer, I worked with open source projects, starting with Visual Desk in 2001 until 2003. And then in 2007, I joined Doctrine, that I hope I have an opportunity to talk about later, which is what I mainly work for on my spare time. But I also try to help the Zend framework and Symfony communities.
Yeah, so that's interesting to know about your multiple activities in the PHP community. I think you are glad to have a great job at Yahoo, so it seems from what you tell me. And by the way, talking about great jobs, as you may be aware, there is a job section in PHP Classes site that is getting more and more interesting PHP jobs every day from many countries, either to work locally in the company's countries or to do remote work. It's true, as Blanco mentioned, that there are opportunities from many companies that have been posted there, including from Yahoo. The site, PHP Class site, sends email alerts to PHP developers that have joined the PHP Professionals directory, which is a separate separate section of the PHP Classes site under the URL phpclasses.org/professionals. So even if you already have a PHP job, you are free to join the PHP Professionals directory, so you can get alerts about more interesting jobs. So you can eventually evolve your career while you keep your keep your current job where you are. As I mentioned, there have been jobs posted from well-known companies such as Yahoo, as mentioned, Panasonic, and then Nokia. Actually, there is, I think, it's still open a job opening that from Nokia in the site. But this is just to mention a few well-known companies. If you are from a company and you have job openings in your company, feel free to post your jobs here. There are options to post jobs for free or paying a fee if you have a certain urgency to get candidates to fill the job position. The good thing about this service, in my opinion, for companies that want to post jobs is that the site automatically matches the job requirements with the PHP developer capabilities before he applies. So the site looks at the capabilities of the developer that he has mentioned in his professional profile and sees if they are sufficient to apply to the job. If the developer capabilities are not sufficient for the job, the site does not allow the developer to apply. This prevents the company to be flooded with resumes from candidates that will not be able to take the job. And so with this filtering, it will avoid the company to waste time reviewing resumes of unqualified developers. Also, if you are a recruiter, the site provides significant discounts for purchasing 10-pack job credits for posting urgent jobs. As I mentioned, if you have jobs to post and they are not really urgent, you can post them for free. Other than that, I'm working on an API that will let recruiters or other job sites to post their jobs in this site. If you are interested to participate in the beta testing phase of this API, please mail me privately to info@phpclasses.org. Anyway, everybody should help spreading about this job posting service. As more jobs are posting, more PHP developers can get nice jobs and progress in their careers. You can help spreading the jobs page URL, which is phpclasses.org/jobs. And you can, for instance, like retweet or post this URL in your favorite social network, so your friends and colleagues may know about it. But back to our guest, Guilherme Blanco, that is working in Yahoo. As I mentioned, as you already mentioned about the Yahoo Hack Day, if I recall correctly, Blanco, you joined the Yahoo right when the event was happening in São Paulo. So how did the event go?
I wasn't able to actually participate on the Yahoo Hack Day. I joined Yahoo the week after the event, so I didn't actually feel comfortable to talk about the Yahoo Hack Day. But I know about a couple of people that went there, and I know about the employees that also were there. it was a very good event, mainly to help a platform that they have called YQL, that allows you to fetch and also insert and updated data, remove data from services. For example, if you want to fetch for videos in YouTube related to some tag, you can just fetch for the send an API request for the YQL in the YouTube tables, and then it will be able to return you the related videos to that tag. So that's a platform that they try to advertise during the event that I have none. But they got very exciting products out of it. One I can even mention related to the flights here in Brazil. If they have departure, if they are delayed or canceled. So you just fetch for a table called InfraAero, and you are able to retrieve information about every flight here in Brazil.
Yes, it sounds like an interesting API. Well, I did not. I read about it, but did not have time to study that API. Actually, I wanted to go to the How Yahoo Hack Day. This is an event that happens in several places in the world, I wanted to attend this event in the edition that took place in São Paulo. I even registered, but the confirmation of the registration came too late for me, and I could not book plane tickets to fly to São Paulo in time, which was a shame. But maybe next year, hopefully, I'll be able to attend. Still this year, I expect to go to also the Google Developer Day in São Paulo, like in the previous 3 years. This year it was not yet announced. Probably it was delayed because of the Soccer World Cup that will take place in South Africa. And when there is a World Cup, practically the whole Brazil will stop just to watch the games. And since usually the Google Developer Day happens in June, I think this year they postponed it, but it has not yet announced. I enjoy to go to these events, but I wish they were more open. For instance, the Google Developer Day should have presentations given by developers outside of Google. Yeah, I mean, in my opinion,
I agree with you.
Yes, they could show applications of Google APIs, but real uses done by outside developers. That would be an opportunity to learn more about those APIs and how could we use them from PHP. That did not happen. All the presentations are given by people that from Google or their partners. I gave that suggestion of inviting, having a space for outside the developers' presentations to Chris DiBona, which is the manager of Google Open Source Initiatives. He came last year to the Google Developer Day in Brazil, and he said that they tried to do that before, but the talks were not good enough from their perspective. Maybe they should be more selective too in picking outside talks from outside developers. But I think they still should make it open for participation of outside developers that are willing to give nice presentations. What do you guys think about this idea?
Oh, I think it's a very good idea, mainly because we have lots of very good speakers, not only in Brazil, but in the entire world, that uses the Google APIs daily, and they can provide really meaningful information about all those open source initiatives that Google releases, Yahoo releases, and even Microsoft that's releasing lately the Azure and other Silverlight, etc.
Yeah.
Yes, and one point here is those events from either Google or Yahoo or any other big company, I guess they should be encouraged to happen in small pieces. I mean, they could have a big event yearly, and they could promote some regional events within Brazil and within other countries. And I guess this is common outside of Brazil. I'm not sure. But to familiarize with the environments that they provide, because for some skilled users, this should be okay to adopt. But for newcomers, it should be hard. Sometimes it's very hard to understand and how to apply. And there is a lot of people from the blogging community who is involved into web development, but they don't have the necessary skills to, let's say, embed a widget from either Yahoo or from Google into their blog. And I guess that this should be really encouraged by any big companies that provide those services. And this event should happen in a shorter time frame, not only a big event within a year.
Yeah, actually, me and Blanco have been invited to Microsoft, what is it called, Tech Days, Dev Days?
The name of the event is Microsoft Web Developers Summit.
No, not that one, the one that took place in São Paulo.
Microsoft Tech Edge.
Tech Edge, right. And they invited us to participate, not really to give talks, but to participate in a sort of a table, round table, where we could exchange ideas, give some help, orientation to PHP developers or people willing to work with PHP within the Microsoft platforms and products. And it was an interesting, it is not exactly what I have in mind, but it's still better than what at least Google provides. You see almost nothing in terms of the opportunities for outside developers to present their work. But okay, moving on with our podcast and continuing to talk about Guilherme Blanco work. You are one of the main developers of the Doctrine project. Can you give a brief introduction about the project for people that do not know nothing about it?
Sure, I can give some initial hand. Doctrine was formerly the first version. It was mainly a kind of active record and table data gateway, which are design patterns, very nice design patterns. And it provided a kind of persistent layer for PHP that it can be compared to Entity Framework for .NET, Hibernate for Java, SQL Alchemy for Python. So it was formerly an active record implementation and table data gateway and role data gateway. And now in the second version that we are releasing, we already released the first beta version. We split the project into actually three different pieces called the COMO, which actually provides useful tools like annotation support for PHP that they're non-existent until now. We have the collections and all the command line interfaces. Then we have the other package that's related to database abstraction layer. Grew enough to be a separate project inside of the Doctrine umbrella. And finally, we have support for SQLite, MySQL, Postgres, Oracle, DB2, SQL Server. And with even the recent support that it was released by the Microsoft, which is the PDO SQL Server extension. And finally, we have the Object Relational Modeling package. It actually is a data mapper implementation mainly based on a Java specification called JPA version 2. We actually implemented around 80% of this specification in PHP. And we hope that in the near future, we start the object document mapper, which will support CouchDB and other NoSQL drivers like MongoDB, SimpleDB, and so on. So we're just releasing the first beta. We hope until the final of the second quarter of the year, we release the official version. And let's see how it goes. It's already a very non-established tool, so I hope that it goes very well.
So basically the main functionality is the object relational mapping, or would you say that nowadays it is a bit different than just the ORM as the main functionality?
We're actually trying to leave the kind of doctrines only on object and relational modeling tool to actually become doctrines a persistent layer for PHP. So we are trying to release only the relational database management systems and start to support all the other variety that any language supports. So basically, it maps the difference between a storage in device and the language PHP.
So for people that have no idea what is an object relational mapping, I'll try to synthesize and you tell me if this description matches what the doctrine does. Basically, it provides an API that lets developers treat information that is in database like as if they are objects. So you can store, create an object, and have it stored in a database table. And you can also do the opposite, like retrieving information from the database and have access to it as any type of object. Do you think this description matches what the doctrine does, or would you have a better description?
Doctrine does not stay with the object mapping back and forth from the storage device. So you may have a very complex domain model. So you can actually deal with inheritance. You can actually deal with polymorphism. And Doctrine is able to map from the what we call as POPO, which is plain old PHP objects, to a database that can be a relational database or a document database. It doesn't matter. And so you can save and you can delete an object. That's what you have in your normal application. But we have another tool that's called DQL, which is an object query language that very similar to SQL, that you can actually fetch for objects like you are doing in a database. So, for example, you have an user object, you just call a select user from users, and then it will return for you hydrated objects from the database.
Okay, and does it work only with relational databases, or does it also support non-relational databases like CouchDB or MongoDB?
For the core projects, we only support, by now, relational databases. but we already have other support for MongoDB. It's already work in progress, so you can just go to GitHub. I think there is a in the Jonathan Wade's GitHub repository, they have a MongoDB Doctrine 2 integration, so you can just fetch for this support, and then you can work with a NoSQL driver as we have now for MongoDB, and we'll later merge it obviously inside Doctrine. So we will release an ODM package.
Okay.
And if you allow me, this project Doctrine is very, very important in my perspective, because most of the object-oriented languages that we know of, most of them, you can see the growth of them by the adoption of database independence. And with this project, I feel that any user could benefit from an abstraction layer and provide tools like, let's say, WordPress or any other applications that could be widely spread and installed everywhere, and being independent of a specific database. Okay, PHP has several drivers for several databases, but they require an abstraction layer, and it's not very well object-oriented right now. And with this project, it's very, very important that you can stay on some object-oriented design patterns and focus mainly on providing a decent application, following decent design patterns, and delivering a very, very widespread project. So I feel very, very tempted to adopt this within any applications that I would develop within PHP.
Right, and what has been the acceptance of Doctrine among the PHP community? I hear a lot about Doctrine, but do you think it has been embraced by a great part of the community, or just more those skilled developers that really understand all the advanced object-oriented approaches? What do you think? Do you think Doctrine is in a state that it is usable by developers that are not so advanced in their PHP?
Well, I can say, from what I can see, the Doctrine has been adopted by all the late major frameworks that we have none in PHP. For example, Zend Framework, Symfony, Kohana, Lithium, that's a recent project. They are all embracing the Doctrine concept, and I really hope that Doctrine becomes a de facto standard or objective relational modeling tool for PHP, at least in the future.
Oh yes, and one point here, just to put some observations here. Google adopts a lot of languages within their applications, and we know that they use Python and they use Java within their cloud computing infrastructure. And with the adoption of Doctrine, perhaps they can write some drivers easily to talk with that Memcache or their implementation of their storage. And as they use Java Persistence API within their layer, I feel that with this approach, with using Doctrine, PHP could be widely adopted by Google, and I feel that Google should focus also by promoting PHP within App Engine product. What do you feel, guys?
I know that Microsoft has some support for the PHP in Azure project that they release, And with the recent support to the PDO SQL Server driver, I think that they will already merge the inside the Windows Azure. But I don't really know about the status of the Google projects, the API engine. But I can say that by now, Doctrine uses Memcache for caching. It has three different layers of cache that it can be used. But we have plans to also support Memcache as a document storage, Memcache key values. So that's what I can say by now.
Okay, yeah. Nice.
Well, I don't think Google will embrace, at least until proven the contrary, Google is not really embracing PHP as I think they should. Well, one of the things is to see the support of PHP in the App Engine environment. That can be achieved indirectly using the PHP to Java compiler, but that's not really a native support of Google
right.
To PHP. But if Google is really concerned with that, that will happen sooner or later. But back to the Doctrine project, I also noticed that you published a book about Doctrine. How is it going? Is it selling well? Do you have a good idea of it acceptance?
Yeah, it's very well accepted. It's actually the second edition of the book. So the first edition is already sold out. And this second edition is actually mentioned all the support of the Doctrine 1.2. So it has nothing related to the second version of Doctrine. It's actually what we are focusing on this year. But we have plans to write a book about the Doctrine 2 and release at least by the end of this year.
Yeah, that's good to know. Well, I know that I knew actually about the book, and it is already listed in the section of the about book reviews of the PHP Classes site, just waiting for anybody that has read the book to review it.
What's the name of the book?
Doctrine Object Relational Modeling for PHP.
Okay. And is it, sorry, I was not aware about this, but what is, is it being published by any editor, or is it available?
It's released by the Sensio Books. It's actually a division of the Sensio company. Sensio is the maintainer of the Symfony framework also. So they have Symfony Labs that release components, and they have the Sensio Books that they also release books related to not only Symfony but related technologies.
Okay, very nice.
Yes, that's good to know. I wish you good luck with this project, and we will all be waiting any further good news about it. And moving on with our podcast, one regular section that I intend to keep in every podcast is to review some classes that do innovative things. And for that, they were nominated and voted in the PHP Classes Innovation Award last month. So I think there are a few. I don't know if you guys had time to take a look at the latest classes that won or were nominated to the Innovation Award, and there are a few that I'd like to comment, and then if you have other classes that you also would like to mention, it would be interesting to hear your opinions. In the previous month, 10 classes are nominated, and some got more public votes than others. And the first one was from Tufan Baris Yildirim from Turkey, which is basically an image processor class that instead of getting some parameters, it takes a sort of a CSS-like definition of the properties to define the parameters of the function that it performs, like drawing rectangles, and if it takes the width and height and other properties from a CSS-like definition. It was an interesting approach. It's very innovative. And other than that, there are many others that I will not mention all. I'll just mention some that got my high. There is one, for instance, that deals with the MPO format, which is used by 3D cameras. Those 3D cameras basically take two pictures, and they are basically pictures in JPEG format, and both pictures are joined in a single file, which will constitute the image in the 3D format. And what this class does is to extract both left and right images that are contained in this format of pictures of 3D cameras. And I thought it was very interesting. There are several others, and I don't know if you'd like to mention any others that got your attention.
I would like to comment about a FlexGen class. It was related to generate code that shows the MySQL results using Flex. So it mainly displays a data grid in Flex and exposes the result from the database. If using the doctrine, it would be a very simple approach. You just have to map the value objects in your Flex application, and just have to bind the value object generated by the doctrine with the value object in the Flex application, and just have to make a call to a PHP file that interchanges the data between Flex and PHP via a AMF protocol that Adobe has released with the Flex platform. So I think this class could be very, very, very optimized to take advantage of this type of tool.
Right. Well, talking about Flex, I think Hernani is a big fan of Flex. I wonder what are his comments about this.
Oh, yes. I've been really, really astounded about the power of Adobe Flex and the ease of use and adoption of it without depending on a specific operating system, and also a cross-browser reference and mobile applicabilities as well. And it's all based on known languages. It's basically a definition of an XML syntax and a CSS for style definition, and interacts with any server-side language like Java or PHP or Ruby on Rails or any other languages. And FlexGen is very, very, is a class that brought my attention here. And it's really nice to see classes coming by using this technology as well. And one of the other classes here that brought my attention within the last month is There are a lot of users suggesting several classes related with the YouTube or online services. So I feel that this kind of classes is really expresses the community creative knowledge, and I would encourage any PHP developer to provide creative solutions here. And the YouTube trailer class brought my attention, as well as the MPO extractor and the Fibonacci class. Because right. I'm passionate about mathematics, Fibonacci is also one that brought my attention.
Right. These are these classes are just those that were nominated, that were published in the March. So they were voted in April. So these are the final results of the vote. In this month, there is a new set of classes that were nominated, but I'm not going to mention about. There are some very exciting classes there. I'm not going to mention about them to not influence the results of the vote. So next month, we'll get back here and talk about those classes. And moving on with our podcast, we're already taking a long time, but I would like to comment about one interesting happening that is about an article that I published last week, and which mentions an interesting statistic that was taken from the PHP classes site users. The site assembled a statistic in the statistics pages that shows the top most used browsers. And what is new about this is that in comparison with the same period of the year, last year, Google Chrome has raised 10% of its share from 6% to almost 16%, it's 15 and something. And at the same time, Firefox and IE lost almost 5% of the share. So this suggests that PHP classes users, which is probably just a sample of a significant sample of the PHP community, are moving from Firefox and IE to Chrome. It's not everybody is moving, but a raise of 10% in share of Google Chrome is quite significant, and Firefox is still by far the most used browser with over 60%. And with this increase of Google Chrome, it already surpassed the use of IE by PHP developers. And I published an article about this, and it was very interesting because there are quite energetic reactions from the community, over 60 comments, which is not very usual to the blog posts in the PHP classes site blog. And well, what I mentioned there is basically that despite Chrome still misses some extensions that for me are very useful and important, I decided to switch to Chrome because basically I could not stand Firefox anymore because it's getting so sluggish, so slow, so it takes so much memory that I decided to switch, try Chrome for a while, see if it is already usable enough for me. Chrome is very fast, and it seems to take less memory, although it's probably not much less memory than Firefox when you have this, open the same number of tabs. And It is interesting because it reflects the fact that PHP developers are also very sensitive to the benefits of Chrome. Coincidentally or not, I don't know. Probably it would be wishful thinking, assuming that this article had an influence. But people from Mozilla Foundation have just announced the plans for Firefox 4. And I read about it, and it seems to address, at least in intention, some of the concerns of the users that are moving to Chrome, namely in terms of speed of not only of use but loading and editing the program, but also in terms of memory. I noticed there are some features that are planned, like the ability to perform some memory usage diagnostics, so developers can evaluate the impact of their pages in terms of memory usage of the browsers. So the more memory they take, the more sluggish they become, because it will eventually exhaust the user machine memory. And if they provide tools to help the developers to optimize the environment, the pages, so they do not take so much memory, I think that will be useful, because it will be a sort of cooperation between the browser developers and the application developers to make the web more efficient, faster, and hopefully less sluggish than Firefox actually is. So what do you guys think? What browsers are you using? Did you also switch to Chrome?
Well, I can say that I already switched to Chrome for quite a while, since it was released and I was using Windows at that time. I switched to Chrome, and lately that I've been using Mac, I also use Chrome here. But I don't leave Firefox for debugging, because it has a lot of developer tools, very useful tools, that they are still missing the Chrome. But yes, I agree that Chrome takes much less memory, much less resources, and it's very, very extremely fast compared to Firefox.
Yes, and hopefully it will be that way, right? And I've been using Chrome since it was released, but then I switched it back to Firefox because of the tools as well. And on the recent versions that they are supporting extensions, I have switched back to Chrome, and I've been using it within Mac OS and within Windows as well. And they both perform very well. And one of the features that I like it is the ability to synchronize bookmarks, which hopefully will be adopted as well by Firefox. Because when you have several machines, it's really frustrating to have your bookmarks messed up everywhere.
Right. Well, one other concern that people that comment to this article express is that some claim that Google is evil, and it is all sort of a trap to suck your personal data and invade your privacy. I'm not sure. I wouldn't be so sure. It's true that Google is a big company, and more they have access to private data that you provide to their applications. But I think it's a bit exaggerated to claim that. I'm not sure if everybody knows, but Google Chrome is based on Chromium, which is an open source project. And I think the only difference between Chrome and Chromium is that Chrome incorporates some extensions that some browser features that require some proprietary code or patent encumbered support, like the H.264 video codec, which is necessary to decode high quality videos. And they could not make it available as a in the open source version. And actually, that is the reason why Firefox does not support that codec, at least directly. Because if you use the Flash, the Flash plugin supports it, but it's a plugin. It's not the browser itself. It's not open source. And other than that, there are several options in Chrome. I don't know if they were present in the past, but they are present in the current versions that disable several features that people claim that they are that allow to pass private data to Google that users probably would not want, like what are you typing in your searches. Whether you use Google for searching or not. Well, what do you think about these claims? Do they think they make any sense?
People are over-exaggerating a little bit. I have some knowledge about the internals of the Chrome, mainly because I know some people that works for Chrome and at Google. And they are not that evil. And it's a kind of a big party that developers can do almost whatever they want. So that's why it's so fast. So people can just experiment what they want there. But I really doubt that it collects private data and sends to anywhere or even installs an update.executable file if you're trying to work on your Windows machine. Update.executable is actually a Windows service that it tracks for updates for Windows. So I doubt it's... I don't really care about the complaints of these users, so I would keep using Chrome on my daily basis.
Right.
Right, and one point here to I mean, if Google wants to be evil, they would already be evil because they control most of the search behaviors of the web. And if we would start talking about paranoia, let's imagine a world without Google today. I guess it would really damage the web. And I guess that Google provides more beneficial behavior in the internet and in the whole spectrum of IT world than it does for evil. And I guess a company wants to somehow keep the browser working. They want to have their own browser because somehow they could also give some feedbacks and have some power over the decisions that are made within the web behavior. And I guess that Google is just trying to protect their interests, and I feel that is pretty much okay for me, at least for me.
Right. Well, this podcast has been great so far. I had more subjects to talk about, but this has already been too long. So I'll leave it to the next time. Before ending, I'd like to start a regular feature of the podcast, which is to ask some feedback to our guest, Guilherme Blanco, in this case, about the PHP Classes site itself. That is hopefully my gain from spending so much time in producing the podcast. So, Blanco, it is very simple. I would like you to just mention one thing that you like, and the one and another thing that you do not like about the PHP Classes site.
Oh, what I really enjoy in the PHP classes, it's the amount of source code that it contains. It contains a class for almost everything that you can imagine, talking about development. When you need to develop anything and you are in a hurry, you just need to pop up a new tab in your browser and just fetch for this class in PHP classes, and you have a class related to that right in your hand. And also, related to the source code is something that I don't really like in the PHP classes. It's actually PHP classes is packet of classes. And there are a lot of good classes, but there are also very bad written classes. Many in the documentation, others in the source code itself. So something that is really good for the website is also a very negative point of it.
Right. what can I say? Well, actually, somehow I anticipated you would bring that up, but I did not tell you that there would be this feature of asking a good or bad, so you did not anticipate the answer, but somehow I expected that answer because we have already talked about it a long time ago. Well, the reason why there are so many classes, good or bad, as you say, is that the site does not impose any sort of restrictions in terms of quality. First, because the quality is subjective. What is a good quality for some people is not a good quality for other people. And secondly, I think it is important to look at the human side of the contribution aspect, which is that many people want to participate. And if I've turned down any classes for not being a certain quality standard, I'm sure it would be a heartbreaking for many of the users that would be turned down, because even if they reckon that the quality is not good enough for use of others, they would be disappointed, and it would be discouraging. And a sort of workaround that I provide in the site to address that is to allow the users to vote on the classes in terms of several aspects like consistency, utility, documentation, examples, unit tests, and from those votes that each class gets, the site elaborates a ranking. And if, for instance, you are looking for classes that to perform some kind of web service, you can go to the category of web services, and you have a separate listing that says top rated classes of web services, and then you get the most appreciated classes by the users following that vote that the classes had. I don't know if somehow this helps the in sorting that concern of having a more selective choice of classes, but I hope you also understand why I would be concerned in the turning down any classes for any quality evaluation reasons. Anyway, I appreciate your comments. They will always be used for further evaluation. And finally, I would like to thank you, Blanco, for your participation. And again, Hernani, for accepting to become the podcast co-host. Other than that, I also would like to end, inviting everybody to post comments, suggestions for themes to discuss in the next show, and suggestions for our guests. Do you have any final comments?
No, I wish to thank you. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Blanco.
Yeah, I would like to thank you for the invitation to participate on this podcast. It was a really nice opportunity to just sit on a late night and start talking about just PHP and what you have to provide for all the PHP community and what people can expect from you. So I really enjoyed the opportunity that you gave me to talk about my project. So it was a really nice thing.
Yes, it was a pleasure for me too. Hernani, we were going to say something?
Oh, yes. I wish to thank you as well for the invitation. And it's always good to talk about technology. And PHP is one of the technologies that I like a lot. And that's pretty much all. And I hope that this goes on and on.
Yes, I hope I can still count you with your participation as co-host for many, many shows to come. Again, I'll like to insist and invite everybody to post comments and suggestions for themes to discuss in the next show, as well as suggestions of guests that you would like to have in the show. So that is all for now. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Bye-bye.